The members of Peace Lutheran Church in Park Falls now invite you to join them in their regular Sunday morning service of worship, now in their 72nd year of broadcasting. Peace Lutheran Church offers these services in order to bring the comfort and instruction of God's holy word to the sick, the shut-in, and the traveler. Today, using Divine Service, Setting 1, page 151. Hymns to be sung today are taken from the Lutheran Service Book, Come to Calvary's Holy Mountain. Number 684, Come Unto Me, Ye Weary. Number 631, Hear, O My Lord, I See Thee Face to Face. Number 743, Jesus, Priceless Treasure. And number 687, Thine Forever, God of Love. Following the opening hymn, Pastor Reverend Samuel Morshing will lead the congregation in worship. The sermon theme is sanctification. The sermon text is John 8, 46 through 59. We take you now to the sanctuary of Peace Lutheran Church.
Announcements that have been on the board are being shared. If you need a copy, you can find that on the table as you entered into the sanctuary. But I do want to highlight just a couple regarding upcoming events. This week, Wednesday, we will have our final midweek service. And following that, the choir is graciously providing the meal. So 5:30, come for the service and stay for the fellowship following. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and we look forward to having our Sunday school children be part of our worship service during that Palm Sunday procession. So we look forward to that activity and the additional Holy Week Monday, Thursday, which will also include our first communion for our sixth grade students. So we are looking forward to many activities and opportunities to be together in God's Word. This morning, we are following the Divine Service, and I would invite you to sing with me our opening hymn, 435. Stand as you are able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
For if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone.
We have not loved you with our whole heart.
We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I invite you to speak with me responsibly the introit. Vindicate me, O God. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me.
For you are God in whom I take refuge.
Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me.
Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your throne.
Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy.
And I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God.
Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me?
Holy God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God.
Vindicate me, O God.
And defend my cause against the ungodly people.
From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me.
For you are God in my faith refuge.
In peace, let us pray to from above and for our salvation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray. Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah
and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose, and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read the gradual with me.
Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. Teach me to do your will, for you are my guide and comfort. You deliver me from my enemies. You rescue me from the hand of violence.
The epistle is found in Hebrews, the 9th chapter, beginning at the 11th verse. When Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
By the congregation standing, we continue with the Lenten verse. Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus speaking says, "Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, If anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, He is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is the gospel of the Lord. I invite the congregation to be seated, and the children that are present may come forward at this time for our children's message. Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
I'm glad that you are here with me today. I have a question. Is water important for you? Yeah. Water is important, isn't it? Why? Why is water important for you?
Because it's healthy.
Oh, it's healthy, right? Do you guys need water for drinking? Yeah, we need water for drinking. We use it for washing too, right? But it's when we're thirsty that water's great, isn't it? Yeah, water is really important for us, and water helps keep us healthy. When we were singing the opening hymn, was talking about having a different type of water, you might say. It says, When we go to Calvary's Holy Mountain, that's where Jesus died, it says here you're going to find a healing fountain, and it flows for you, for me, and for all. It talks about a fountain being found. Do you guys know, have you ever found and been at a fountain? Yeah. What do you see in fountains?
Water.
Water, right? Yeah. And is it bubbling up and you have access to water in the fountain? Yeah, except for those fountains that say stay out, right? Yeah. But fountains, they have water and you can find it. And sometimes they even talk about finding water when you need it. Do we have a lot of water around where we live? Yeah, we've got rivers and we've got lakes, but there are some people, do they have water around them a lot when they live in the desert? No, that's not a good place to find water. Yeah, no rivers there, not like here. So, but we find what they call a fountain, a source of water for our soul. Who is the source of water? Who brings water to your soul? God does, through his son Jesus. He is the one that brings water that refreshes you. Are we talking the same water that you drink? No, it's a different type of water, or a different refreshing. Do you feel better when somebody tells you, I forgive you? Yeah. We feel better when we hear God say that too, and Jesus is the one, and he's that source that provides for you the ability to hear God speak to you and say he forgives you. And so that's why we sang about Jesus and Calvary being a healing fountain, because Jesus died for your sins, and because he died, you can go to him and you can be healed and be restored from the water that he gives, the drink, it says, that you will not thirst no more. So we're here today because when we're in church, is this how we drink the word that God gives to us? Yeah, we're here, we're taking, and this is a fountain for you and for me and for all to hear God's words so that we can be healed and restored. Please fold your hands as we say our echo prayer with the congregation. Dear Heavenly Father,
dear Heavenly Father,
thank you for the fountain,
thank you for the fountain
that Jesus made,
that Jesus made,
and that heals my soul,
that heals my soul.
Please help me,
please help me,
share this fountain,
share this fountain
with others, so they may have the waters of eternal life,
the waters of eternal life.
We pray in Jesus' name,
we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you very much for coming up and talking to me about Jesus providing the waters that heal our soul. Our congregation is going to continue by singing, Come to unto me, ye weary. And I do have treats for you children as you head back to your seats.
To me, weary, and I will give you.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we continue our study in the forgiving challenge. And this week we look at sanctification. There has been a debate regarding the most important meal of the day. Some people have different ideas of what is going to be the most important meal. But well, there's a couple that you might see in Scripture, and depending on who you are, that meal may vary. But we're going to look in the Bible once again at a meal cooked by none other than Jesus. A meal that we can discuss, but some would say is, for the characters involved, the most important meal that Peter has had in his life. And well, for anyone wondering, that meal was a breakfast. So does that make breakfast the most important meal of the day? Well, but the Lord gave the Lord's Supper, so we'll still can debate that. But this, for Peter, certainly is the most important meal. We've been looking at the acronym SCARS and the metaphors that it speaks of, and how we are today talking about sanctification. And the definition of sanctification is the process of being made free from sin, purified, or made holy. And this is the ultimate goal that God has for you and for me. Freedom. Freedom from sin, purified, to be made holy. So think about this. Freedom doesn't get experienced until the end. And the point of this series is to help you not stop short anywhere in this process. Because there are many exit points, and if you leave anywhere on the journey, you won't be living the freedom that God desires for you to have. We've started our journey by talking about sin. Every one of us misses the mark. And if you deny your sin or try to overcome your sin without Jesus, you won't be free. But if you bring your sins to Jesus, confess to him, then God can bring his forgiveness. And the first part of forgiveness is the absolution, the fact that your debt has been canceled. And as wonderful as it is that God has paid the price for your sins, this sadly can be where a lot of people exit the process. Where some just say, all right, well, God has paid for my sins and I'm absolved. I'm good eternally. That's good. But no, we don't want to stop there. Because God not only paid you the price for your sins, but he's made you to be restored. Fully restored as his child. As a co-worker in this world, there's an invitation. It's right there for you. It's available. And with this invitation, this is maybe the saddest, because we're so close to the end, but where so many stop. We say, well, we've received this invitation, God's forgiveness, the debt's canceled, great. God invites me back into the relationship with him with purpose and meaning. Okay, awesome. But until you actually walk into that invitation, you aren't living fully free. It would be like somebody giving you a birthday present. They've wrapped it. They've paid for it. They've given it to you. It is yours. And yet, you have it unwrapped. You don't really experience the beauty of the gift until you've opened it and experienced it. So true freedom comes when you step into that invitation to walk hand in hand with your God, walking with him into the future. And that's what sanctification is about. And this is ultimately what Jesus wants for each one of us. God has done all this for you. So, what are you going to do? We look once again at John chapter 21, where we have studied and seen the forgiveness that God extends and shows to Peter, and how important it has been. Yes, Peter sinned. He missed the mark. He denied knowing Jesus 3 times when Jesus could have used him to stand by him the most. Instead, well, he sat down by a comfortable fire and he crumbled. So filled with guilt, Peter went back to what he knew, to fishing, but rather than making his life with what he had known, after a night of failures, we see Jesus mysteriously showing up on the shores where he's smoking some fish over a charcoal fire. And then Jesus again invites the disciples to come and eat with him. When they landed, they saw the fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." And in the next verse, we hear that Peter drags the fish to Jesus that they've caught, 153 in total. What a wonderful detail that's included. You and I could spend time researching the number 153. Does it come up anywhere else in the Bible? Is it a number of significance? Well, most people would say no. What's significant about that number 153 is that's the number of fish that were caught. Yeah, that's the number. And it's 153, and not a rounded number, but rather this is how many fish were caught. You know, good fishermen, they tell you exactly how many fish were caught. So, they have these fish here. Jesus has invited them. And what do with 153 fish that have been caught? Well, you put them to use. The miracle of Jesus, you utilize it. And God, he invites us when we have opportunities to follow him. And the question then is, how do we respond when we know the miracles that God has performed in our lives? It's less about the numbers and more about the invitation. God didn't really need the fish for breakfast. He was already making breakfast. But he invites them to bring what they have, what they have caught to the meal. To reiterate what I said last week, God doesn't actually need me or you to bring his kingdom into this world. But he invites us to be part of bringing his kingdom to the world. He invites us to bring whatever gifts, talents, or resources that we have to use those as he sends us into the world with the good news. Jesus, speaking with Peter, speaks to him words of reconciliation, restoring him, and then pointing him ahead. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. And what does this mean? Oftentimes in our Bible, the spiritual leader, the pastor, will be called the shepherd, one who takes care of others. Jesus is saying to Peter, I want you to help be the leader, to help lead, and let people know who I am and what I have done for them. And Jesus reminds Peter, saying to him, you are that shepherd. I'm going to my Father, and I want you, Peter, to lead the sheep. How amazing is it that after Peter has failed, we see him being restored. God invites him, and God invites you and me into such wonderful positions. God tells Jesus, I'm believing in you. And yet we have some words that he tells him about what it's going to be like as a leader. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. It isn't always an easy task to follow Jesus, but yet it is a blessed task to follow and to go where our Heavenly Father invites us, to go into that invitation. And we know that after what Jesus had done for Peter, how does his story wrap up? Will he be faithful then unto the end? Does he live up to that name, Peter Rock? Well, I would say history does recount him, yes, entering into that invitation and living out his life of sanctification. He does go, spreading the good news, telling others about Jesus, and leading the church. We hear in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, a short 50 days after Jesus has rose and 52 days after Peter denied him, after those three denials, the amazing verses that we hear about Pentecost, where thousands of people from all over the world are in Jerusalem. There's much chaos and confusion about what's going on. Luke records, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. For the next 30 verses, Peter brings an incredible, bold, passionate sermon to the people, directing them to Jesus as their Savior, your Savior. With the same mouth that he denies Jesus, he now uses that mouth to courageously preach a sermon that not only brought 3,000 to the waters of baptism, but also, you would say, began the church, living out what God had intended for him to do. We see Peter restored and then living that holy life. God can do the same for you. He can turn your past into a platform, just the way that he did with Peter. He can take your weaknesses and turn it into your witness. He can turn your mess into a powerful message. Our God has a degree in bringing deliverance out of destruction. He can even turn the enemy's tools and weapons against the enemy. Isn't that what he did at the cross? The cross, a weapon, a tool for execution, now is what you and I see as a symbol for victory. It brought death to Jesus, but yet it brings victory to you and to me. Yes, our Savior, he turns what the enemy has brought to him and uses it to not only destroy the enemy, but to bring us freedom. Peter, yes, he is that leader in the church, as we see in history. But does he care what other people think of him? Does it matter how he goes down in history? Rather, I would say all that matters to him is not how history sees him, but how history would remember Jesus. What is most important to Peter is not how he messed up, but how he was restored and how you too can be restored by your Savior, Jesus Christ. For Jesus does his best work when he works in your life. He's there to rescue you out of the pit, to get you while you are at your least. He's there by the seashore cooking a feast over an open flames for you. There's a way out through his trout. How much longer will you flounder? God's got enough grouper for the whole group. Yes, and he is the King of Kingford. He is the ultimate master. Jesus is ready for you, so come and eat. Taste the grace of your Savior Jesus. It's the most important meal of your life. Today, we have the blessings of eating the supper our Savior has prepared, his very body and blood. You are forgiven. Live in that freedom from now until eternity. Tell others about the freedom that Jesus has won for them. Help them experience that freedom. Know the absolution that comes from our Savior. Know the restoration that he wants for you and for all. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard our hearts and minds firmly in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, the congregation is invited to stand and speak together the Nicene Creed as we confess what our triune God has done and continues to do for us. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, everlasting Father, you saw Israel in their despair and raised them up to hope by placing your Spirit upon them. Join us together with the communion of saints in Christ. Raise up our dry and weary spirits by your Holy Spirit, that we may be strong in faith, bold in witness, holy in life, and steadfast in hope. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Holy Father, your Son, our Lord, commanded us to love our enemies. Do good to those who hate us, and pray for those who persecute us. We implore you, by your gracious visitation, lead our enemies to true repentance and have the same love. Be of one accord and share one mind and heart with us and with your whole church. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you called Father Abraham to offer his beloved son to you, yet you spared him for the sake of your beloved son, Jesus Christ. Help all godly parents to bring up their children in your fear and love, to direct their ways according to your holy word, and to commend them to your fatherly care. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
O Lord, because of our sins, we are not worthy to pray to you. Yet in your mercy, you receive our prayers through the intercession of Jesus Christ, our great high priest. Hear our supplications for those in need, especially Rick, Glenn, Wayne, Abigail, Teddy, Tracy, and Leon. Answer our petitions on account of the merits and mediation of your Son, our Savior. Lord, in your mercy. Prepare our hearts, O God, and give us faith in the word of your Son, our great high priest and the mediator of the New Testament in his blood. Make us worthy to eat his body and drink his blood, that in full confidence we may go to the altar of God to our exceeding joy. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, you spared Isaac, Abraham's son, and established his seed, Jesus Christ, as the Savior of many nations. Gather us into your heavenly kingdom with Herman Workow and all your saints, the children of Abraham by faith. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word, that we may not be deceived by that liar and murderer, the devil, but know your truth, and so come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
At this time, our offerings are presented. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin,
so that we could communicate with God through Christ.
What shall I render to the Lord? For all his benefits to me, and the sacrifice of his giving me, and of all my name.
we continue the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
confused.